All right, welcome back into the third hour of the Game Blitz here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We got you till midnight tonight. Big Kenny behind the glass. I am Big Joe Elijah Campbell down the line. We're having a lot of fun tonight. Some big games, big scores happening as we do at the top and bottom of every hour. Scoreboard time. All right, here we go, my friends. Game starting in 6A right now. Oakland leads Maryville 24-7. 3 minutes to go in the first half. Beach over Bartlett 21-7. Down to 5A, Knoxville West leads Powell 21-14. Page over Henry County 14-7. To 4A we go. Anderson County's battled back. They're tied with Red Bank at 13. That game in the fourth quarter. Haywood leads Pearl Cone 20-19. That game is going to halftime. Oh, it's midway through the second quarter. Again, those are 4A semifinal games. Down in 3A, Alcoa 14, Giles County 0, second quarter. Also in the second quarter, East Nashville 14, Covington 0. To 2A we go. Last score I had was Tyner over York Institute 33-0. That might have changed. We'll find out
it's
in a second.
Final.
Oh, it's a final. There we go.
It's a final.
Decatur Riverside over Huntington 14-0 in 2A. Then in 1A, Clay County leads Colfield 26-13. And McKenzie over D-Mace 22-0 down in 1A. That is your very awesome and very quick scoreboard update. Let's go to the phone lines brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises, where they make you number one. That's their priority. Let's bring in Rusty Ellis, great reporter in the Upper Cumberland area on the Tyner and York Institute game. Rusty, I tweeted you in the first quarter. You could have gone home, buddy.
Yeah, you weren't wrong. I could have, but obviously, you know, a good reporter stays to the end. There's no leaving early in this field. But, just a dominant showing by Tyner. Loved everything I saw. This is my first time seeing their quarterback, Josh Jackson, in action. And I loved everything about him. Thought he made some tremendous deep throws. Thought that he made some good throws into, you know, as much contention as York could put up. But, obviously, for York, not the kind of game that this team is going to be remembered for. They're going to be remembered for being picked to finish fourth in the region. They win the region. Not being picked or favored in hardly any of their games in the playoffs, and yet they've made it to the semifinals for the second time in school history. This is a good season for York despite the not-so-good ending.
You know what, Rusty, one of the things I hated when I was a sports reporter, and you know, and don't feel sorry for me, but it was going into a locker room, whatever sport it was, of a team that wasn't expected to get that far, and they got that far, but they didn't go all the way because there's so much heartbreak and emotion in a locker room like that. It's really tough to cover something like that because your heart breaks for them.
Oh, it is, of course. I mean, any team that gets this far, you'd like to have the belief that they've got a shot to make it to the big dance. But, you know, that's just sports. That's just, you know, how sports go sometimes. You know, only one team can win it all, and that means there's dozens and dozens of other teams that don't. So, I mean, again, York, as much of a, you know, Cinderella run as this may look like when you look at the regular season record, I think that, again, this is a playoff run that's going to be remembered for a long time in Jamestown, and it may hurt right now, but they're going to look back on the season, and they're going to be pretty proud.
Talking man, Rusty Ellis here from the UC Reporter. And Rusty, you've seen a lot of 2A football this year. You've seen a lot of this York team. Monterey had a solid season. But Chattanooga Tyner seemingly just has another gear that every other team in the classification simply doesn't have. For those who might not be familiar, because we haven't talked about them a lot this year, obviously, because they're out in Chattanooga, how much or how deep is kind of that gap? Because, I mean, they took it to East Robertson, and East Robertson's a really, really good team last week. What is that gap like between Chattanooga Tyner and the rest of the 2A field?
Well, you know, Elijah, a lot of people in the Upper Cumberland, there's a lot of argument as far as where the Upper Cumberland ends, where it reaches and all that. And I would say that the gap between a team like Tyner and a team like York and Monterey at this point, it's about as wide as you think the Upper Cumberland Plateau is. And that's not, you know, a shot at anybody. That's just that these are different. This is a different level of athlete and a different level of football team that you have to play. This is a team that could win a state title and very likely will win next week. It would not shock me in the slightest if they do. There's still obviously a ways to go for teams like York and Monterey to be able to compete with teams like this. But this is, you know, you get to this point in the year, this is the first time you've seen a team of this caliber in all likelihood. You know, teams love to talk about, coaches love to talk about how they stack the schedule and how they, you know, give themselves the hardest schedule possible in their eyes. And to be just quite frank, I mean, there's no team on any schedule in the Upper Cumberland, save for when Upperman played Fayetteville, that has this kind of talent, this kind of depth. It's just a different level of football, Elijah, and it's really not more complicated than that.
Yeah, I could totally see that as well. And one question I have about this as well is not this necessarily this game, but Joe and I have been talking a lot about Clay County because of what they're doing to Colfield right now. I know Colfield scored again to make it a one touchdown game, but Clay County is having a phenomenal season, another historic season for another team in the Upper Cumberland. And Clay County and York played actually back on October 21st, and Clay County beat them 44-14. But what have been your observations from Clay County this year, and what's it been like following that story? Because they're not a traditional football power, but they have been a fantastic story to keep up with this season.
Well, that's the thing right there, is they're an incredible story, because that's a team that, I moved out to the Upper Cumberland in 2019, and I think I want to say it had been a couple of decades since they had won a playoff game. Now, obviously, I could be off by a couple of years on that, but I mean, that's just what I've heard. So I think that the main thing that sticks out about them, I don't know many teams in the Upper Cumberland that embody their coach the way the Bulldogs embody Bruce Lamb, because he's a very tough, hard-nosed coach, asks for a lot. He's got high expectations, high standards. But so do the players. I mean, the players are physical and as tough as any players you'll come across. I mean, Joseph Markham last week, he's a running back. He's a star running back. And you think running backs, nowadays, you think of guys that maybe dance around, make moves, make guys miss. He's a guy that's running straight at you, and he's trying to run over you. He had probably the biggest hit we've seen all year last year on defense, or last week on defense. And it's plays like that. It's players like him and Keaton Arms and Jimmy Burchett. Again, this team just embodies their head coach, and I think that's what makes them so successful. They've all bought into this vision he has, and I think that's why you see Clay having the season they have.
Rusty, what is next for you now, man, now that football's over?
Well, to be honest, though, we just got to wait to figure out what happens with Clay and Colfield. And then, to be honest with you, Joe, I love football. I really do. I said it last week that, you enjoy every moment of this because, you obviously, once football ends, you don't see it again for quite a while. But I'm a big basketball guy, man. So the fact that we're getting into that time of the year, hate that football's coming to an end, love that hoops is getting up and rolling. And there's going to be some really good teams in the Upper Cumberland this year. So I'm looking forward to some good basketball here.
By the way, make sure you send your address to Elijah. He's got a nice fruit basket from Amazon he's going to send you. So
edible arrangements.
For your help this
My
year.
Man.
Rusty, as always, man, we appreciate you so much for everything you do and calling in this year for us, man. Thank you so much, buddy.
Hey, fellas, it's been a pleasure. I really have loved getting to do this every week like I have been. I'll miss doing it for sure. It's going to be weird to go to a Friday game and not have to call you guys, but you guys have done a great job with this show all year, and you should be really proud of the things y'all have done.
Thank you. We'll just give you another phone number for another radio station in town. You can call them. Thank you, Rusty.
Whether they want you or not, just call them.
Thanks. We got an update here, Elijah. Oakland has scored again. They lead Maryville 31-7. But every time I look at the TV, Maryville's going down the field. Oakland's just got big plays. We're turning the opening kickoff for a touchdown, hit a couple of big plays, and they're up 31-7. Rolling, I mean, in this game, big time.
Joe, going into our interview with Rusty there, I saw the video. The last thing I saw from that game was that they, it was still 17-7, and Maryville was going to kick a field goal, and Oakland blocked the field goal. So since that blocked field goal, they've scored 14 unanswered in that short amount of time. That is the gear that we've talked about with Oakland all season long that they have that maybe no other team in the state has, where whenever they turn that light switch on, or they hit that gear, whatever metaphor you want to use here, they can't be stopped. And Maryville, while like we mentioned, we said it a couple times already in the show, that it's not like a quintessential Maryville Rebels football team. To be able to do that against them still is pretty remarkable, that they can just turn it on like that against anyone.
Right.
I mean, and that, Beach, Bartlett, obviously it looks like Beach might be able to pull away and win that game. So if we have a Beach Oakland, we talked about how much fun it'd be to see those two wing tee offenses. If you are to somehow be degenerate enough to put a point spread on it, you still maybe even favor Oakland by two touchdowns just because they have that gear, man. And there's no better example than what they're doing right now to Maryville.
You're right. One of my best friends, his son is a starting, his nephew, I'm sorry, is a starting quarterback for Maryville. And he said, hey, I haven't followed a lot about high school football. What should I know about Oakland? And I said, here's what you need to know. Don't make reservations for Chattanooga. And we laughed. And then,
yes, how much time you have?
They're up 31-7, so just rolling through there. But Beach has scored again. They're up over Bartlett 35-13. That game is not at the half yet, so our wishes may be coming true of a Beach and Oakland collision course next week in the 6A final. All right, we will take another break. We still got much more to give you tonight. We're going till midnight right here on 102.5, 106 for the game. This is the Game Blitz brought to you by our good friends at Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. Welcome back here to the Game Blitz. So 102.5, 106 through the game. Brought to Apple Collision Centers and National Playmaker Academy. I know we're talking high school football, but Elijah, Tennessee basketball update, because you cover college basketball. They lead Kansas 56-43 with 6 minutes to go in the game. Would this be a big win for Tennessee if they win?
That's massive. Mostly because in the eyes of, you know, the selection committee, who you're playing to appease all season long. Let's be real with ourselves. You're playing to appease them all season long. The loss to Colorado wasn't great. You played really poorly. You shot really poorly. Really, really bad loss on what is basically a de facto home game playing in Nashville. But if you can turn around and go to a Battle for Atlantis field that is absolutely loaded and beat Butler, will be improved. Butler's not going to make the NCAA tournament, but they will be improved. Beat them the way they did. Beat a USC team that I think will seriously compete for the Pac-12 title, and then be able to beat a top three team in Kansas. That it's remarkable. The way they've been able to play this week is remarkable, and it showed that they're still, the strength of the team is still defense. That last year they were one of the best defensive teams in all of college basketball. This year they had a little bit of some of those players, like Kennedy Chandler's gone, John Fulkerson's gone, some of the defensive anchors are gone, but they still got it defensively. And doing what they're doing to Kansas and by holding them to 43 points with, 6 minutes to go in the game is remarkable, because Kansas has put up some really solid offensive numbers this season. So that would be a signature win, and that's one that if they only lose 4 or 5 games in the regular season, they go to the SEC semifinals or championship game or even win the SEC, you're building a quality resume for a one seed, because you say, hey, we beat Kansas, who might win the Big 12. So it may seem insignificant because it's a random tournament in the Bahamas in the middle of November.
Right.
But we'll discuss this when talking about them as an NCAA tournament team in March. So when you're comparing resumes with other teams, not many other teams are going to have wins against Kansas on a neutral floor.
That'll do good for what do they call him? Regular season Rick? Is that what they call him?
Regular season Ricky. I've never heard that, but that is a very fitting nickname, because postseason success has been outside of them.
Right.
It is accurate.
Sorry. I'm getting yelled at now. By the way, Clay County scored again. Halftime, the lead Cofield 33-13.
Wow. 33-13. Like, them scoring 33 points in the first half against Cofield is mind-blowing enough. Them holding Cofield to 13 points in the first half is even crazier, considering the amount of scoring that Cofield's done all season long. I think the only time they've scored, there's only been two instances this year which they haven't scored more than 40 points, and that was in a 14-6 game against an inter-county rival, Wartburg, which you discovered as a place today.
Right.
And then their 21-point loss at Gordonsville, in which they still put up 21 points against a really good Gordonsville team. So that's everything else has been over 40 and sometimes over 60 for that Cofield team. So to be held at 13 right now is remarkable.
Yeah, halftime, Oakland over Maryville 31-7. Alcoa now leads Giles County 21-0. Every time Pearl Cone comes back, Haywood scores again. Haywood now leads them 33-25. That game is not at halftime yet, according to my stats. And, of course, Page leads – not of course, but elsewhere – Page leads over Henry County 14-10. That's at halftime. That's the game, the score we all thought it would be at halftime right there.
Yes, absolutely. That's the one we figured would be the most of a shootout. And based off the way they played in the state semifinals last season, it's pretty easy to conclude that one would have been massive. So I'm excited. That one's the one I'm probably most excited for the second half, that in Haywood Pearl Cone. it looks like another big play in that game. Haywood now at 33-25 on Pearl Cone. At least it's new to me because it just now popped up in my Twitter feed. This phone's a little slow, but that's a lot of big plays in that one, Joe.
I promised you to get rid of that Cricket phone. He still won't listen to me. I said if you come up here, I'd buy you a new phone. Halftime now, Beach leads over Bartlett 35-13. So it looks like our dream is coming true now, Beach in 6A. It could be an all-Middle Tennessee final, which we will love if that happens with the Beach Buccaneers. Of course, Beach got to run that bottom part of the bracket because the Memphis teams all knocked out the Williamson County teams. And then
they did.
Now a little redemption now. Beach is coming down to take up for their big brother and run over Bartlett tonight. But I don't know if I'm surprised by that score. I think I'm just more – I thought it would be like maybe 14-7 at halftime or 17-7, but 35-13.
Yeah. I guess what would contribute to that, Joe, is probably – we knew Beach would be able to run on them. But would it be running on them and sustain long drives, or would it be big plays? And it turns out it's been the latter. We've just gotten a lot of big plays, and Beach is hitting on those home runs pretty frequently in this game. And I think that's probably the most surprising part. I think we knew that they'd be able to run the ball successfully, but maybe just not on one play, 80-yard drives kind of thing. You know, not a lot of 56-yard runs we anticipated.
No, not at all. So what that do, if that keeps going like it is right now, it sets up a Beach Oakland 6A final next Saturday night down at Chattanooga for 6A. My goodness, how do you not go to that game, right?
Oh, man. I'm so excited to see that matchup because what we said earlier, it's the ultimate wing T bowl. It's for not just state supremacy. It's for who runs this holy offense better than the other. And that's the almighty wing T. Putting the T in wing T, T standing for Tennessee, because you're going to see it here better than anywhere else. But man, watch that game in black and white. Put on some Ed Sable highlight montages in the background. Give it a real NFL films feel, like a 60s NFL films feel to it, because it's old school football, baby. You get the ball in your athlete's hands and let them do their magic. And my favorite archaic offense on the planet, the wing T, get the ultimate stage here in the state of Tennessee. It's fantastic. I love it.
Been around since 1872. All right, let's go back to the phone lines brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises, where you are the priority. Let's bring in Adam Brown, who's covering the Oakland-Maryville game tonight. Adam, how are you, man?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. Every time we look up, I see Maryville driving for a touchdown. Now look at the scoreboard. Oakland's dominating the game. How are they getting it done, Adam?
Well, it started with the opening kickoff being returned for a touchdown by Oakland, and it was just all downhill after that for Maryville. It's just they can't get anything going offensively. There's a couple big runs here or there, but then when they have to turn to the air, the Oakland secondary is just absolutely shutting them down.
What was it? I know they had the kickoff return for a touchdown. They blocked a field goal, correct? Oakland did and returned that for a touchdown?
They didn't return it, but they blocked it, and then on the very next play had a 62-yard touchdown, I believe. They have touchdown runs, three of them over 60 yards, two in the 80s, one in the 60s.
Oh, hey, Adam, hold on one second. I got to yell at my intern. They didn't return it! All right, I'm sorry. Elijah, go ahead.
Send him home. Send him home. Send the intern home now. Now. Right now. Talking to Adam Brown. He's there at Oakland and Maryville right now. And Adam, like, first off, what's the atmosphere there like? Because, you know, these teams have played each other every year. It's the ninth year in a row that they have met in the state semifinals. And they've met twice in the regular season in the past decade. So it's a grand total of 11 times, nine with it being, you know, stakes like this. It easily for a casual football fan can get burned out on a matchup like this. But what's the atmosphere there like for at Oakland tonight?
I mean, I know this sounds simple, but it really is just a playoff atmosphere. At least it was before the game started. Everybody was excited. Everybody was ready to go. And you mentioned those eight matchups. They split those 4-4. So this is the rubber match. And Oakland just came out, seemed like they were more ready to go. And just after that opening kickoff and the way this has gone, the Maryville sideline has gotten really quiet, and the Oakland sideline where I'm sitting is just an absolute party in the stands.
Wow, excellent. And Adam, you know, obviously 31-7, almost seemingly insurmountable, but what about this Oakland offense, I guess, has been able to hit these home runs? Because it looks like if the results stand, Beach will be beating Bartlett, which means Beach will be facing its Oakland in the state title game. And Joe and I were just drooling over this potential wing T offensive matchup. But what's it been like watching this Oakland offense tonight in terms of an execution standpoint to be able to break through all these huge runs?
The speed really has just been like breathtaking. The way their running backs hit the hole and then they're just gone. If the linebacker for the other team doesn't fill the hole and at least slow them down to where the rest of the defense can come help and swarm tackle, it's over, and they're in the end zone before you can look up.
What do you expect? We're talking to Adam Brown, who's covering the Oakland-Maryville game tonight. Adam, do you know how to say Maryville properly?
I've been saying Maryville. Is that wrong?
No, you're correct. It's just that if you lived here a long time, Maryville turns into Maryville. So just that's a little Southern dialect for you.
Well, I've lived here my whole life.
You gotta say it like you have marbles
in
your mouth. That's the thing.
I was worried that Maryville was wrong because I had heard a couple people say Maryville, and I was like, oh, no.
Just don't listen to us. You're doing fine.
Maryville.
Hey, what do you expect to see in the second half? Let me ask you this. What can Maryville do in the second half to get back in this game?
They're going to have to find some separation. Their receivers are, anyway. And I mean, I know that's easier said than done against this Oakland secondary, but they're not doing their quarterback any favors. They have got to find some space. I don't know if that's in what kind of offensive adjustments that's going to take, but they can keep hitting these long runs all they want, but eventually they're going to have to throw the ball, and they just can't seem to do that so far in the first half. But the number one thing they're going to have to do is keep their head up. If they come out of the locker room like this game's already over, then it is. So they're going to have to come out with an attitude of we can get back in this, and that's step number one.
Fantastic. Adam, thanks for the update. Don't pay attention to anything that Elijah and I talk about. You just keep being awesome, man. We'll talk to you after the game, okay?
Okay, thank you. Don't be too hard on the intern because they did score on the very next play, so it looked like they ran it back.
Oh, they've already gone home. So, but thanks, Adam.
I guess we'll let him back inside.
All right, thanks.
Yeah.
Adam,
see you guys later.
All right, thank you. Hey, before we go to the break, and I know that you are a history buff, Elijah Campbell. We're talking about our Decatur County winning tonight. Decatur County is named after Navy hero Stephen Decatur Jr., who gained national recognition in the First Barbary War, the Second Barbary War, and the War of 1812. I've never heard of the Barbary War. Have you?
I haven't either. That was not something I ever learned in any of my AP history classes in high school. The Barbary War is new to me. Obviously, the War of 1812 is a highlighter of this country as it is. And this could be the biggest win Decatur Riverside has had since the Battle of 1812. We're talking centuries here, Joe Duke.
It was the U.S. and Sweden. Decatur. The U.S. and Sweden fought against the four North African states known collectively as the Barbary States. And I guess we thumped them.
Wow.
USA all day, every day, man. Well done. See, this is more than just a high school scoreboard show. You get history. You get to listen to us yell at interns. I mean, it is what it's all about here on the Game Blitz. All right, we'll take another break. At the bottom of the hour and top hour, we'll give you the scoreboard update. Elijah, you are up for the scoreboard update next. You're listening to Game Blitz right here, 102.5, 106.3 of the game, brought to you by Apple Collision Centers and National Playmakers Academy. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz on this beautiful Friday night here in Middle Tennessee. On 102.5, 106.3, the game. Big Joe here alongside Big Kenny behind the glass. Elijah down the line. The state high school football semifinals taking place across the state of Tennessee. A lot of great games happening right now. Some surprises, some not so surprises. But here with all of it, scoreboard update, Elijah Campbell, take it away.
Ah, yes, the triumphant music for our scoreboard update. Let's go ahead and start off. In 6A, Oakland at the half leads Maryville 31-7. That's for the rubber match. The winner of that game will play the winner of Beach and Bartlett. Beach up 35-13 over Bartlett. That's 31 seconds to go in quarter number two. In 5A, Powell tied with undefeated Knox West on the east part of the state. That is late in the fourth quarter. Page up on Henry County 14-10 in the Battle of the Patriots. The winner of obviously the Battle of Patriots will play the winner of Powell and Knox West. In 4A, Haywood up on Pearl Cone at halftime, 33-25. That game has been a shootout. Lots and lots of points scored there. Final in 4A, the winner of Haywood and Pearl Cone will face Anderson County. Anderson County keeps their undefeated season alive as they beat Red Bank 28-13. Joe, that game was tied at 13 and a half, and Anderson County pulled away to keep their undefeated season alive. In 3A, Giles County trailing Alcoa 21-0. And then East Nashville up on Covington 21-7. I think that game is at the half. In 2A, Tyner up on York 33-0. Cater Riverside. Joe, what was the score on that one? I do not have a recent score on
14-0. Decatur Riverside.
On Huntington. Last time we saw in Coalfield in Clay County with a surprising 33-13 lead at the half. And then in the fourth quarter, I think we're at halftime, of Mace and McKenzie, battle the unbeaten. McKenzie up 27-0. Sorry, D Mace. But that is your very short scoreboard update here on Semifinal Friday.
That's a short and very awesome scoreboard update that we have for you.
Yes.
On the last game blitz of the year. You know, it's crazy. We go back to August the 19th when didn't know, you know, we knew a few teams that would be there. You know, we knew Oakland would be there. We knew Beach would be pretty good. We hoped that other teams were. But, you know, when I during the break, Kenny and I were talking about, like, Glencliff. You know, we just want these teams in Metro that just to do well, you know. And Glencliff, unfortunately, didn't get to win a game this year. But it didn't stop us from loving on these kids and still talking about their program and the team each week. And that's the thing, Elijah, which we agreed on this show, and Kenny as well, that it's everybody's show. We don't focus on the 6A Oakland Patriots who win every game. We know that. But it was about all these other schools in Metro Middle Tennessee that deserve just as much coverage as the Oaklands of the world do.
I think that's my favorite part about this season. In all honesty, this is, you know, obviously you've been doing the show for a while, and we've revised it after a hiatus, but this is my first time really covering the mid-state as a whole doing high school football. I would do some games in the regular season, do a game of the week where I'd go to like Cannon County or Smith County or some of those smaller places. My favorite part about this is being able to give schools like Glencliff, you know, some coverage. They have some people that are on the radio cheering for them. That's pretty cool. Cheering for them to break this historic losing streak. We got to keep up with a lot of really cool storylines, a lot of really cool rivalries. We got to keep up with schools like Coffee County, who have never won a playoff game, or White County. Schools have never won a playoff game in their school's history, have really good seasons. Coffee County won a region title.
Right.
White County end up having, you know, the best football player they've ever had in school's history rewrite record books there in the Upper Cumberland. And we got to talk about them. And then otherwise, you know, in a year they would never be mentioned in Nashville because they're not necessarily a powerhouse, but they got to get that kind of coverage. I've really enjoyed being able to do that and focus on, because, you know, obviously, and deservedly so, Oakland gets a lot of coverage.
Yeah.
The big schools get a lot of coverage. Your MBAs, your Brentwood Academies, Pope John Paul's, you know, they'll get a ton of coverage year in and year out. But I love getting on here, Joe, and talking about Clay County and Gordonsville.
Yeah. You know?
That's a lot. That's a lot of really talented kids that work really hard and that are the faces of their communities that are being able to have these really special moments and really special seasons. And it's really cool to get to share that with other people.
I totally agree. And it's just, you know, that's why, you know, we're asked like, well, what do you can do the playoffs? You know, are you guys going to do the first 11 weeks? I'm like, we're going to go as far as we can go with this because this is so much fun. This is much more than, you know, I know the NFL and the Titans get all the coverage and college football gets that, but, you know, high school deserves some of that pie. And that's why I thank, you know, Chase, the program director here, and Dennis, the GM, for allowing us to do 6 hours on a Friday night. And that's another thing, not to toot his horn, but, you know, everybody who covers the preps, I'm talking about the guys from the Tennessean, Tom Krager and Cecil Joyce, the great gang at Main Street Preps who do it. I mean, there's a lot of, when you get into high school football to cover, we've talked about this before, Elijah, you just don't Google and then the stats pop up. You don't Google and like, oh, here's the, you know, the start, the two deep roster for East Nashville. I mean, you get to know these coaches and know these teams and the players, and it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun, gratifying work that we get to do to cover high school football.
That's my favorite thing about it is that you can't just Google it. So a fun backstory here, when I was at MTSU, and I was doing I was the sports director for the school's TV station. A lot of it is people would go out to cover high school games. We had a high school game of the week. And a lot of it is, oh, hey, yeah, sorry, my report, I don't know a lot of these players' names. I couldn't find a roster online. I was like, well, this is where you get to do the fun journalism work. And that is where you call the head coach, because that's where anytime I did a Cannon County high school football game for DTC Sports, you know, I had to call the coach. I had to go to a practice. I had to call the coach, and that's how you get the rosters. And you have to do some digging, but that's how these kids get known. That's how they're able to have any kind of coverage, is because you have to make that effort. And it's hard. It's almost like, you know, the saying, Joe, that experience is the toughest teacher because it gives you the test first. Well, covering high school sports is the toughest beat, because your test is to find all the basic info that you can find for any college or pro team at any sport at any level in America. You have to be able to find it at a grassroots level, and that makes you more connected to the game than you could be with any other sport that you cover, whether it's a college sport or a pro sport.
Charles Pulliam, that's a great point. I like that about experience. Charles Pulliam with the Williamson Herald Reporter just said that Henry County got up 17-14, and then Page came back and scored 21-17. Page, 6 minutes to go in that game.
Wow. So we're going back and forth again. So I believe, so obviously Henry County got the lead 7-0, became 14-7. So then we had, that was already our first lead change. And then Henry County again got up 17-14. And now Page has gotten up 21-17. By my count, that is three lead changes so far.
That's amazing. And it's, you know, it's funny, you get so conditioned to watching the NFL and timing things out. You know, it's a 3-hour game, and like, oh, they're almost a halftime in the NFL. Here you're in high school football, which I love. It's like, there's only 6 minutes to go in this game, and it's over with. So, man, I'd love to be up there in Paris, Tennessee right now to watch this game between Page and Henry County.
Oh.
They played last year, right? And Page beat them in the 5A semis, right?
They did. I think it was like 56-52.
Oh, my goodness.
It was a shootout. That was the game, yeah, where Henry County blew the – They had three separate 21-point leads in the fourth quarter, but could not stop Page's offensive attack at all. So it's nice to see they're D'ing up a little better tonight, but I can only imagine what this upcoming Henry County drive is feeling like in that stadium right now. I cannot imagine.
Oh, I could, just unbelievable with all that goes on. That's happening with all that, because this is it. You know, I was talking to somebody about, you know, would you rather lose in the quarterfinals or the semifinals, you know, to get – what would hurt more, you know? And I'm thinking, you know, you get to the semifinals, and it just – if you lose that, because you're just one step away, because if you go to the state championship and you lose, you made it to the state championship, right? I just think losing in the semifinal is just a gut punch of all gut punches, because you're so close. And you get to the finals, you get to celebrate by going to the finals and say, hey, we went there and we lost to a really tough team. But the semifinals, man, that's just a gut punch to me.
It probably hurts worse, but you celebrate it more than you would if you lost in the quarterfinals, you know. Like York's a great example. They'll always say, hey, we were a game away from getting to play in the state championship game. And only one other senior class could say they did that in their school's history. Or one other team, group of players could say they did that in their school's history. That I will say, though, in a loss in a game like a semifinal, you live with more what-ifs than you would if you lost a close game in the quarterfinal. You know, because then you're like, okay, well, if we end up winning this game, theoretically, we would have to go, you know, on the road to Bartlett or something like that. And you know pretty well who you would have played if you would have been able to pull out a win in the semifinals. So the what ifs are definitely more daunting if you lose in that kind of fashion in a semifinal.
Clay County scores again, 40-20. There's still 7 minutes to go in the third quarter in that game. I guess Salina's going to – will they throw a party up there tonight? Surely they will, right?
Yeah. How many people you say were living in Clay County?
70
live in Clay County or Salina, Tennessee?
7,800 in Clay County.
Yeah, all 7,800 raging. Like that's what it's got to be tonight.
Oh, that'd be
is
so
what
much
it
fun.
Has to be tonight.
Oh, that'd be so much fun
to
be up there.
I would
love
to be a part of that party.
Well, is how far
it
is?
I would love to be a part of that party.
How far does Rusty Ellis live from Salina?
Ooh, that's probably. I Google Maps it earlier, and apparently the drive was not as far as I remember it whenever I was in high school from Cookeville to Salina. But if you left from Cookeville High School to go to Clay County High School, it's only 41 minutes. Rusty can probably stay as long as he wants. He'd probably go make his way back over. Well, he's in Chattanooga, so a little different. But
oh, that's true. He is down there.
It's only 41 minutes if he gets back home, you know. It's only 41 minutes if he wants to experience the party of a lifetime, because it's probably going down in Salina tonight.
Oh, absolutely. That'd be so much fun to go up there to Clay County. That's another thing I learned. You know, I've heard of Clay County, but I could never tell you what cities are there. Now I know that Hermitage Springs and Moss and Midway and Salina and Fairview, Tennessee. It looks like not the Fairview Williamson County, but another Fairview, which is odd. but still in part of Clay County. So we learned so much on this show, which is fantastic. All right, Elijah, do not go anywhere. We got more updates, more scores for you and everything. This is going to be a fun, fun night still ahead. We're here till midnight right here. This is the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106 through the game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. All right, welcome back in here to turn my headphones up there. Yeah, I can hear me now. Welcome back into the Game Blitz here on 102.5, 106 through the game with you to midnight. Big Joe alongside Big Kenny, Elijah Campbell down the line, and shocker, Oakland just scored again. So by my calculations, it's going to be 38-7 if they convert the PAT. We have a running clock. Is it running clock 30 points in the second half, Elijah? Am I correct on that?
I believe you are, and it would be really weird and foreign to me to say that Maryville is getting running clocked in the second half to anybody. That's wild.
Yeah.
Oakland running clocking.
Just down the field, Oakland running the football. They're up 38-7, 8 minutes and 57 seconds to go in the ballgame. So we know Oakland's going to go to Chattanooga. That'll be the 23rd straight year they've gone, if I do my calculations correctly. 19, they did not go, if I remember correctly. Like Maryville went that year.
Maryville beat them. every year that they haven't gone in the last decade is because, well, Maryville beat them.
Who did do you have in front of you who Maryville beat in 19? Probably not. I put you on the spot, but that Donovan Stewart book's got.
Actually, let me double check. I think that might have been Whitehaven.
I think you were correct. Won it.
It's, yeah, Whitehaven. I know there was a Ravenwood year. Let's see. Let me pull up Coach G.
You do that, but
Coach
I'm pulling
G great for
real quick update.
That kind of stuff.
Bartlett has come roaring back. It's now 35-27 Beach in the third quarter.
Oh my goodness! So what was the biggest gap? Was 35-13 correct?
Correct.
Or the biggest
we
lead
saw
that Beach had.
Yep.
Ooh, 14 unanswered. Well, hey, that's a game now.
That is. He thought they were going to run away with it, but Bartlett's like, no, not so fast, guys. Here we come. I'm going to see if I can get a quicker update on that, too, as well, as I go to the old tweeter board and see what happens there. But
wow,
that's, you know, we were already pretty much booking Beach's hotel reservations in Chattanooga next week.
We basically were. We were talking about this wing T matchup. And you know what the T in wing T stands for now? Too soon.
Bartlett gets a pick six. It was 35-20. Beach was going in. Screen pass picked off. And then they ran it back for a touchdown, so made it 35-27. So it looks like Bartlett came out, scored in the second half, made it 35-20. Beach got the ball, running into the field pretty good, and then did a screen pass, and it was picked off. Boy, that's pretty. Picking off a screen pass is not easy, and they did and ran it back for a touchdown.
That's called jumping the route.
Yes.
Yeah, jumping the route and knowing what's coming. That's impressive.
So
I guess Beach will never run the ball again in the history of the world.
Or
throw the ball again.
Yeah,
they're
throw
just,
the ball
gotta
again.
Got to keep running.
So get an update here on the
exactly.
Update. It's still 21-17. Page over Henry County with a couple minutes left to play in the game right there. So another barn burner between those two teams, and second week in a row for both those schools playing. You know, Page knocked off Nolensville last week, and of course, Henry County knocking off Springfield in a tough game. So I'm looking at the video, man. What a great big turf
rematch
field.
Games. Yeah.
Packed house. I mean, that's what high school football is all
looks
about.
Looks good.
Does it not? Yeah.
It is. And to answer your question, it was Ravenwood that Maryville beat in 2019.
Was it?
Ravenwood, 42-21.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep, in the state title game.
I know next year was Oakland beat Brentwood in 20. And because that was the COVID year. Then last year, Oakland beat Summit in 6A down in Chattanooga.
That's right. An all Middle Tennessee state championship game.
So we hope we can keep that going tonight as well. East Nashville still over Covington. The last score I had was 21-7. That game in the third quarter. Looks like East Nashville is going to play Alcoa, who has now moved. It's late in the third quarter. Leads Giles County 28-0. I thought Alcoa would win this game, but I thought they'd win like 21-17, not 28-0, Elijah.
Yeah, I definitely thought so too. Just because – you go up and down Giles County's schedule, and they've been really battle tested against teams that are, you know, very high up in terms of classification. Their non-region schedule this year, Joe, and we've talked about this with Wade Neely so many times throughout the season, that their non-region schedule really prepared them for nights like this. You know, they maybe sacrificed the 9-1 fantasy season to be able to test themselves early on. Nolensville, they lost by only 7 points. Nolensville went undefeated until last week when they lost to Page, obviously. Page, they lost 45-28, but it was more of a closer game than that. And then they went at Cleland, the team who beat Maryville early in the season, gave Maryville their first region loss since I was in kindergarten. And that was a 24-10 game. Like, competed really well against on the road in another time zone against a 6A team that has one of the marquee wins of the high school football season. So Giles County, it's not like Alcoa is a competition level they haven't necessarily seen before, but I guess it's what makes Alcoa champions too, is that they can still match up well on paper and still dominate the way they do. That's what makes Alcoa Alcoa, and then everybody else gets to have the honor of losing to Alcoa in the playoffs to mark your season.
Pearl Cone has scored a touchdown. They trail Haywood by 2, 33-31. By my account, that is, I don't think they converted an extra point throughout the game, but that would be five touchdowns. I think they made one. But Haywood's up 33-31 late in the third quarter there. Hopefully Pearl Cone can come back and maybe get a field goal, win the game by one. That'd be great. And they could take it there and go.
I love how.
Go ahead.
I love how this game took place of Henry County and Page as the shootout. You know, last year that was the game that was in the 50s in regulation, and I think this game's going to steal that thunder for this season.
Looks like it. By the way, Huntington has scored now. So the Barbary Coast, Decatur County, they need to change their name to Decatur County Riverside Barbary Coast. It would just be like that way when people ask, that's a unique last name. You could tell them a little history lesson about what goes on there for, because we discovered that tonight. They lead Huntington 20-13. That game is now halfway through the fourth quarter. So if Decatur County can hold on, we claim them as a Middle Tennessee team, they'll go to the playoffs too as well. But I have not seen an update on the Page Henry County game in a little bit, so I'm kind of getting nervous on what's going on there. So I'm going to double check and see if we can have an update on that as
Our
well.
Our man Tom Krieger's there at the game, so I've been furiously refreshing my Twitter feed.
Tom Krieger. He won't go up steps, so I know that.
Man.
He hates steps. He won't climb the steps.
Who loves steps?
Not Tom.
Not many people love him. Right. Tom especially not.
Ronan O'Connell leads the defense. The Page boys stop Henry County on fourth down at the 16. Page ball at 2:40 to play. Oh, it says in the third now. So I've got in the third, I've also got 6 minutes to play in the game. So I've got different things that are being told to me right now. Let me my intern, real quick. I'm sorry, Elijah. 1 second.
Get the right score.
Okay. Sorry about that, Elijah. Sorry you had to see that. I hear that.
Yeah, he's back. Yeah, he's got to walk back home now. Cancel the lift that we ordered. He's walking home.
He's shivering in the corner right now.
He better, because that's three things he's giving me wrong tonight, which I'm not going to put up with.
Better tuck that tail between his legs.
So now it's final. We'll go to the fourth. Not final. We'll go to the fourth quarter. Third quarter's done. Beach leads Bartlett 35-27, and Bartlett has a third and goal from the 7. Boy, that game has turned around quickly.
That escalates very quickly, and that's exactly what a pick six will do. And not just a pick six in which you were driving well. This could have easily been 42-20, right? I mean, they were on their way to making this 42-20 in the last quarter, but one play has made the difference from it being a multiple touchdown game to being a one score game. That is such a big momentum flip that. All right, we have a game now. Our dream matchup of Beach Oakland is now in jeopardy officially.
And I'm sorry, I'm writing stuff down here. Fourth quarter now, East Nashville leads Covington 28-15. It's like East Nashville had a big return. I'm following Jamie Holland on Twitter, who's covering the game for Main Street Preps. Anyway, East Nashville's up 28-15 over Covington. That game now to the fourth quarter. So I love it. Love it. Keep it going. East Nashville, and we hope Pearl Cohn can get that field goal or get some points and bring it home tonight, because we love all Middle Tennessee finals next week down in Chattanooga. All right, that is for the first 3 hours. We are done. Elijah's got your complete scoreboard update coming to you at the top of the hour in just a few moments. You are listening to the Game Blitz, brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.